Dear All Things Considered, I was dismayed and disgusted by what I heard in your exposé of the leaders of the Aryan Nation's plans to relocate and reestablish themselves in Pennsylvania.
It's Thursday, the day we read from your letters. This one is from Bill Robbins in Charlotte, North Carolina.
It's a free country, something for which I'm on the whole very grateful. But people like the subhuman hate mongers who comprise the Aryan Nation and similar organizations, too, often make me wonder whether there aren't some from whom our First Amendments and perhaps other guarantees of democratic freedoms ought to be withheld.
And John Jackson of Chicago also wrote to say that he found the report about the white supremacists very disturbing. He writes, "It also made me realize that we should begin calling these groups what they truly are, terrorists. These groups that spout hate, while protected by the First Amendment, are no better than the terrorist cells our troops and government are hunting throughout the world."
Mr. Jackson continues, "One would hope that the government would work to apply the same law enforcement tactics, freezing funds, wiretapping, etc., to these domestic organizations. Their acts, firebombing, intimidation, and even assassination, all in the name of God and country, put them in the same category as Osama bin Laden."
Some comment on yesterday's piece by Walter Cronkite recalling the orbital flight of John Glenn.
David Noel of Toledo, Ohio says, "Congratulations to those who had the idea and to Walter Cronkite and those who produced the piece. Its content was a great audio mirror of a major day in American history and space exploration. I rely on NPR for daily news, but I am equally dependent on NPR for providing background and retrospective moments."
Same story, different review.
"I'm crushed. The once most trusted man in America has let me down."
This is from Hilton Evans in Randolph, Massachusetts.
"Mine will likely be one of the dozens, if not hundreds, of emails correcting Walter Cronkite's assertion that Velcro was one of the many spin-offs of the U.S. space program. Velcro was not invented by NASA. It wasn't even invented in the United States."
Velcro was invented by a Swiss inventor and hiker, George de Mestral, who noticed how flower burrs stuck to his pants. Upon examining the burrs with a microscope, he noticed that each burr was covered with tiny fur-grabbing hooks. Mestral realized he could use this natural design to create an alternative to the zipper. Mestral's idea was patented in 1955 after he perfected a process for creating the microhooks in nylon.
Alisa Miller of Seattle heard our report on Cece, the cloned copycat, and she asks, "Am I the only one who thinks it's a little strange to be taking eggs from a cat that you're spaying because there are too many cats in the world just to clone it? The overpopulation in the cat world is a serious problem."
Finally, this is from Mark Lee in Lamy, New Mexico, who mixes diction with diplomatic analysis. Mr. Lee implores us,
"Please tell all of your announcers that entrepreneur rhymes with Big Sur and not with Big Sewer. P.S., he adds, "this drives the French crazy and makes them vote against us at the United Nations."
You can share your comments, corrections, and analyses of French diplomacy by email. The address, atc@npr.org. And please remember to tell us where you're writing from and how to pronounce your name.